Ya seorang nama braga jaman-jaman.
Ya seorang
nama braga jaman-jaman. Ya muna kirabana chari. Jai Radha Madhava Sundara Bhavani Obijana Vallabha Giri Radha Gauri Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jaya Radha Madhava Sundari Hari Obijana Vallabha Giri Parvajyakacharya Sotra Satya Sutra His Divine Grace says, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Goda Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Iskand Pandu Acharya Sri Divine Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Gopalananda All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutaraya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vishwamine Nirvishesha Sanjivari Paswachide Sitarine Hare Krishna So this morning I'm asking a little assistance from my wife to read the verses and purports. And we'll do that after offering all basics. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So we're going to do these three verses together, so we can all chant that together, and then I'll read the translation and purport, and then the next verse, there's only one verse, we'll do responsibly.
Sachami netadatmanam varishtam sarvayoshitam hitva gopikamayana mamasau bhajate priyaha Tato gatva vanodesham dripta kesham abravit na parayeham chalitum nayamam yatra te manaha evam upta priyam ahaskandham ahuyatamiti tatashchantarabhi krishna savadhu anvatapyatam
Okay, translation. My dear most Krishna, you're worshipping me and giving up the company of all other gopis who wanted to enjoy themselves with you. Thinking like this, Srimati Radharani considered herself Krishna's most beloved gopi. She had become proud and had left the Rasa Leela with Krishna. In the deep forest, she said, "My dear Krishna, I cannot walk anymore. You can take me wherever you like." When Srimati Radharani petitioned Krishna in this way, Krishna said, "Just get up on my shoulders." And as soon as Srimati Radharani began to do so, he disappeared. Srimati Radharani then began to grieve over her request and Krishna's disappearance. Purport. These three verses are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30, 36-38. Okay, so next verse. Pati Sutan Vaya. Okay, please go ahead and chant. Thank you. I'll do the translation now. Dear Krishna, we gopis have neglected the order of our husbands, sons, family, brothers, and friends, and have left their company to come to you. You know everything about our desires. We have come only because we are attracted by the supreme music of your flute. But you're a great cheater. For who else would give up the company of young girls like us in the dead of night? Purport. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-16, describes how the gopis went to the forest for Krishna's enjoyment in the dead of night. The gopis approached Krishna to enjoy themselves with him in the Rasa dance. Krishna knew this very well, but he was superficially trying to avoid them. He is therefore addressed by the gopis as Kitava, a great cheater, because he first attracted them to come dance with him, and yet, when they actually came, neglecting the orders of their friends and relatives, he tried to avoid them by giving them so-called good instructions. These cunning instructions were too much for the gopis to tolerate. They therefore had a right to address Krishna as Kitava, a great cheater. They were all young girls, and they had come to him to be enjoyed. How could he avoid them? The gopis therefore expressed great disappointment in this verse. They came voluntarily, but Krishna was so cunning that he wanted to avoid their company. The gopis' lamentation was certainly very appropriate, and in this way Krishna tested their sincerity.
Thank you all. Anujana Tinandasya Kananjana Salakya Sakshirumali Tamina Kasmai Sri Purvetha. So we're continuing our reading of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This section, the Lord instructs Sri Rupa Goswami. And the subject matter is as high as it can be. The deeper love above, love and separation expressed to Krishna and the gopis at the time of the Rasa Leela. So this feeling of separation, Kripalambhava, it's taught to us by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And today happens to be the parents' day, isn't it? The parents?
Is
the parents also? Is the parents of Ramachandra copyright? Appearance of Srila Gopalabhata Goswami. So to try to do justice to the subject matter, any of us have to approach these teachings through the Goswamis. And before going to the Goswamis, we have to go to Srila Prabhupada. So following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, six Goswamis have been done. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today, I want to concentrate on describing the life and teachings of Gopalabhata Goswami, because he's also in this mood of Vipalambhava, and his activities show him to be searching for Krishna, just as we see the gopis searching for Krishna in our current reading. So, first, let's go to the Gurudesh Deepika of Srila Kavi Karnapur Goswami, where he gives us the eternal identity, spiritual identity, Gopalabhata Goswami. He writes, "In my opinion, that person who in Vrindavan Leela was Ananga Manjari is now Gopalabhata Goswami. Some authorities, however, have given their opinion that he was Guna Manjari." So he was feeling the separation from Krishna. And it was manifest in his appearance as Gopalabhata Goswami in the form of his desire to worship the form of Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Venkatabhat, staying at his house for 4 months during the rainy season, while on his tour of South India, he stayed with the family of Venkatabhata. And at that time, Gopal Bhakta Goswami was just a small boy. He appeared in this world in 1503. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Sri Rangam in 1511. So, 8 or 9 years old boy, Gopal Bhakta Goswami, got the opportunity to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very intimately. And even though he was just a small boy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him instructions that would form the basis of his entire life. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was departing, he told Gopal Bhakta Goswami, at that time a young boy, to remain at home and take care of his parents, and when they left this world, then go to Vrindavan. Can you imagine just being 7 or 8 or 9 years old and getting an instruction like that? How likely would we be to execute it to the precision that Gopal Bhakta Goswami did? Even to the point of, at the time when he was 30 years old, his parents passed from this world. And even though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still present on the planet, he followed, Gopal Bhakta Goswami followed the instruction. We hear the Goswamis and great devotees of that time desiring greatly and endeavoring sincerely to go meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still present in Puri at the time when Gopal Bhakta Goswami's parents left this world. So he could have, and I'm sure he did desire to, go to Puri to see the Lord personally. But he took the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so seriously that he left immediately for Vrindavan. He didn't go to Puri. So it was about following the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seeing that non-different from the person. So at 30 years old, Gopal Bhakta Goswami traveled to Vrindavan, and there he was received by all the Goswamis present there, including Sri Rupa, Sanatana Goswami, and others. So, he served and was motivated by separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not even his personal desire. So this separation played a big part in his life, and I'd like to read for you a description of how his feelings of separation from Krishna resulted in a miraculous appearance of Sri Radharamanji. At the age of 30, after his mother and father had passed, Gopal Bhakta traveled north and came to reside in Vrindavan. There he had the company of many of Sri Chaitanya's senior associates and disciples, like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, After some time, Sri Chaitanya appeared in a dream to Gopalbhatta and instructed him to make a pilgrimage to the Gandaki River to collect shalagram seedlings. How far from Vrindavan is it? You're walking. How long would it take you to walk from Vrindavan to the Gandaki? Not just walking across the level ground, climbing mountains. Undoubtedly. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a dream and told him he should do that. After waiting his whole life to go to Vrindavan, when he gets there, he's told to leave. And what motivated him? Sri Chaitanya informed Gopalbhatta that by worshipping Shalagram Shiva, he would soon get his darshan. Sri Gopalbhatta Goswami was feeling separation from the Lord. The other Goswamis, they worship their deities in form, hands, legs, like that. But Gopalbhatta was instructed to go and collect Shalagram Shilas, which don't have the form, the so-called human form. And so he was desiring, he was feeling great separation from worshiping that human-like form. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that if he worshipped Shalagram Shila, he would soon get his darshan. So Gopalbhatta set out on foot towards the Gandaki River. After a long and arduous journey, Gopalbhatta reached the Gandaki at Shalagram and happily took his bath there. Having placed his water pot in the river, he saw that several Shalagram Shilas had entered the vessel. Removing the Shalagram Shilas from the pot, he again placed them in the water, and again he saw several Shalagram Shilas that entered his pot. Again he removed the Shalagram Shilas from the pot and placed them in the water. And again the same thing happened. This time Gopalbhatta saw that 12 Shalagram Shilas that entered his pot. Considering this to be the mercy of Sri Chaitanya, he decided to bring those 12 Shalagram Shilas back to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Gopalbhatta began the worship of 12 Shalagram Shilas with great devotion. Gopalbhatta was always thinking of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words spoken in his dream. In this way, his worship of Shalagram Shilas continued. And his desire to have the promised darshan of Sri Chaitanya became very, very intense. One day, a wealthy gentleman approached Gopalbhatta to offer a selection of dresses and costly silver and gold ornaments to use in the worship of the Shalagram Shilas. Gopalbhatta requested that the man present the dresses and ornaments to a temple in Vrindavan where the deity form of Krishna was being worshipped. At this instance, Gopalbhatta began to remember the promise of Sri Chaitanya, and feeling great separation, he yearned for the Lord's darshan. It happened to be the appearance day of Sri Nishina Dev, who manifested himself before his devotee servant, Prahlad. Thus Gopalbhatta began praying, "O Lord, you are very merciful and fulfill the desire of your devotee. I desire to serve your ecstatic form. Therefore, please reveal yourself. What can I do? I am hopeless, and I cannot sustain my life any longer if you do not bless this humble beggar." Sometimes we think when we hear about Krishna, I think, not you all, Sometimes I think when I hear this pastime of how Bhadaraman appeared to Gopalbhatta Goswami, you think of Gopalbhatta just going through his daily sadhana, his religious devotional activities, as if things were normal or ordinary. But the emphasis I got in reading this was how Gopalbhatta Goswami was very, very desirous of worshiping the Lord, begging and pleading to worship His form, not just that O Radha-man just appeared almost automatically. But now it was based on the intense desire, just like the gopis. They had an intense desire, and as said in the purport we read, their sincerity was tested by the separation. So Gopalbhatta Goswami, he was also tested by these feelings of separation from the Lord. His very, very strong desire. While he was having that desire, those desires, that night, Gopalbhatta slept only a short while. And when he awoke in the morning, he found one of the 12 Shalagam Shivas, the Damodara Shiva, which he kept in the simplest straw basket that manifests as Sri Krishna. And the Damodara Shiva, which is approximately 2 inches wide, that manifests the full-fledged form of Krishna, measuring 11 1/8 inches in height. You know, you can see that if you go during the summer months, when the way they dress Radha-Ramanji allows, you go on the side of the darshan room and look sideways towards the deities, you can see the Damodara Shiva where the Lord manifests from. It's still part of His form. Actually, deity is quite amazing. Compared to other deities in Vrindavan, the details, even including the teeth of the Lord, are manifest in Radha-Ramanji. So that darshan was given in the year 1542. Of course, this is important in a number of ways. Not only is it a miraculous way of developing our faith in the separate feeling and serving the separation from the Lord, but also Gopalbhatta established worship there, which Srila Prabhupada himself commented on. He said, or it's described, before preaching in the West, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya Viskan, was for many years a close friend of Sri Vishwambhar Goswami, an Acharya in the line of Gopalbhatta Goswami. Srila Prabhupada advised his devotees to learn the high standard of deity worship and Vaishnava etiquette from the Sri Radha-Raman temple. Many times Srila Prabhupada visited the Sri Radha-Raman temple and was very much impressed. So who here has been to the Radha-Ramanji temple in Bhavan Bosnias? It's a very wonderful, they have a wonderful atmosphere. In the evening they have kirtans. I know that Maybe Govinda Maharaj likes to go there, engaging kirtan. So not only did he give us, Gopabhata Goswami gave us the darshan of Sri Radharamanji, but he also gave us the gift of his books. I have a description of some of his books here. His most important contribution to the literature of Gaudiya Vaishnavism served to define the rites and rituals of gradual spiritual progress. A brief survey of these particular works is in order. Sat Kriya Shara Deepka, which roughly translates as the lamp that lights the essence of spiritual rituals, deals primarily with married life. It delineates with great care the 10 samskaras of holy rites, from marriage, impregnation, haircutting ceremony, the beginning of learning, the study of the scriptures. With this work, Gopabhata Goswami sought to help the common people by giving them valuable guidance on marriage and the gradual pursuance of spiritual life, both for themselves and their offspring. So these things are also practiced by us. Sometimes we may wonder, particularly if we're not from Hindu or Indian background, why are we doing these rituals? What is their purpose? Gopabhata Goswami's intention in writing his books was to give some culture to all of us, how to perform his rituals, their importance in our lives. This is given to us by Gopabhata Goswami. He completed a work called Samskara Deepika, which elucidated on the rules of behavior and conduct of sannyasis or renunciates. It gives details that explain Vaishnava sannyas names and the particular and the scriptural rituals with which one can officially adopt life of a traveling mendicant. Both Sat Kriya Sara Deepika and the Samskara Deepika elaborate on fire sacrifice and initiation as originally taught in the Vedic tradition. So, maybe Prabhuji can enlighten us on what are the sannyas names for a community of grihasthas here. Now you're going to look face to question in a few years, what about sannyas? So what are the sannyas names in our Vaishnava tradition?
What are the sannyas names?
Yes.
Originally, Vishnu Swami had 10 and 100 names.
said, and Prabhupada put this in the purport of Adi Lila chapter 10. All those names, Saraswati, Bharati, Puri, like that.
Giribhan,
Ashram. Like Prabhupada, sannyas name is Swami. That's also one of the sannyas names. Because Abhaycharan Arabinda, he got it from his guru, from his father Abhaycharan, then Abhaycharan Arabinda. But Bhaktivedanta, he got the title before he took sannyas from his Godfathers. And then he, at the sannyas time, it was added, and Swami is his sannyas name. So A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, like that, he said about it.
So all these so-called rituals were described and given to us by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Vaishnava etiquette. Gopal Bhatta Goswami also gave us propagation of the holy name of the Lord. I know I've heard it someplace, but I couldn't find a reference. But there is a reference that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was ordered to begin initiating disciples. Previously, Rupa was a disciple of Sanatana and one, two things like that. But with a view to propagate both the deity worship as well as the preaching, Gopal Bhatta Goswami is charged with initiating disciples into the Vaishnava cult. And he did this, as I said, to propagate the worship at Radharamanji temple. And by initiating Srinivasacharya, who was one of the great expanders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, especially in Orissa and Bengal. Srinivasacharya came to Vrindavan, was initiated by Gopal Bhatta and studied under Jiva Goswami. And then he was one of the three chief preachers who left Vrindavan to take the books of the Goswamis back to Bengal and Orissa. That leads us to the disappearance of Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was related to Gopapa through Srinivasacharya, where he was godbrother Srinivasacharya, Ramachandra Kaviraj. Disciple of Gopapa to go. Okay, well, I have some selection. On Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra Kaviraj was one of the eight Kavirajas, famous poet disciples of Srinivasacharya. Ramachandra wrote Smarana Tarpana, Smarana Chamatka, Siddhanta Chandrika. He preached widely and initiated many disciples. Narottam Das Thakur and Ramachandra lived together as best friends. Narottam Das wrote Jaya Koya Shri Acharya Abu Srinivas Ramachandra Sangamang Narottam Das. O Srinivas Acharya Prabhu, please give me your mercy. Narottam Das always prays for the association of Ramachandra Kavira. So there's a long history of friendship and preaching together between Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. And one of the main duties of a friend is to defend his friend when he's being maligned. And that example is shown by Ramachandra Kaviraj. There's a famous incident where Ramachandra and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti took the role of shopkeepers. Let us read a little bit of that. One time, some smart Brahmins made a conspiracy to defame Srila Narottam Das Thakur. They were very upset, and though he was only a Kayastha by caste, he accepted those born in Brahmin families as his disciples. They enlisted Raj Narasimha and the conquering pandit Sri Rup Narayan in a crusade to somehow expose Narottam as a fraud. In a large party, they made their way to Kedri, where Narottam Das had his headquarters. So you know the story. They came to try to have a debate between Sri Rup Narayan and Narottam Das Thakur to defeat him and defame him. So getting wind of the controversy, Narottam Das Thakur's friend, Sri Ramachandra, joined with Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and set up shop as shopkeepers in the marketplace. So when the smarter Brahmins arrived, they naturally had to do things like purchase wares for cooking of their meals, and so when they approached the shopkeepers, Ramachandra Ashankar and Narayan spoke in perfect Sanskrit to the smarter Brahmins, to the point where these smart Brahmins began to worry that if shopkeepers were so expert here, what about their guru, Narottam Das Thakur? So ultimately, Vajrasriya and Sri Rup Narayan, they became disciples on Narottam Das Thakur. After a debate. And so Narottam Das Thakur's friend Ramachandra Kaviraj proved his friendship by saving him from such defamation. At the hands of the smarter Brahmins. So that's a little bit about these two great personalities. Is there anything that assembled devotees would like to add?
I remember reading Jiva Goswami Pad's comment why we discuss teachings or hear glorification of those great soul associate of Mahaprabhu on a particular day like his appearance and appearance. He says because they live on a pure goodness, Suddha Satta platform. They can literally hear any devotee from anywhere in this universe, from their spiritual realm, and bestow blessing. So these days are very important to us. And I'm very thankful to you that you are glorifying those personalities. I hope devotees in Alacho community take advantage of hearing again to the YouTube or whatever access.
And these are the things which enrich our lives, actually. That we have a family. It's like the contribution of Gopal Bhatta Goswami of the that we find in Hari Bhakti Vilas, where all the procedures are described. It gives us the culture of family that we can depend on, that we can enjoy, that we can celebrate by celebrating these holy days, the appearance and disappearance of the Acharyas. Anything else? Yes.
The last sentence in the purport, Srila Prabhupada was saying that the gopi's lamentation was correct, and that Krishna was just testing their sincerity. So I was just wondering when, you know, our lamentation can be correct.
Well, I think that we can test our own sincerity in association with our God brothers and God sisters by describing how we're feeling and hearing how is this in line with what the previous Acharya described. Like that.
In Nectar Devotion Chapter 25, Prabhupada said that shedding tears due to the separation feeling is the extinguisher of our material existence. So it is necessary that we feel separation from Prabhupada and Krishna. He didn't say about himself, but he said from Lord. So it's necessary. And then it will push us to lament deprivation of pure devotional service. I thought it was very profound in chapter 25.
Does that answer your question?